Precious brothers and sisters in the Lord, we greet you all very warmly and we wish you all God's blessing and we welcome all of you and also our brothers and sisters who are joining us online, who are having part with us in this service. We greet you from this place. We would like to give praise to our Lord and adoration also by songs. We were already blessed by the wonderful choir songs and by the wonderful instrumental songs. We want to praise Him with all our hearts. We start with the song number 5 from this little booklet, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 5. And thanks. Let us also sing number 16. Do you know the fountain? Number 16, whiter than the snow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ja, keiner
yes.
kann sich vorstellen,
no one can imagine what it means if he has not yet seen the snow. That's how it was with me in Brazil when I became a believer and I was singing this choir. I always was singing about snow, but I never have seen snow. And it was a longing for me. And it was, when I came to Germany, it was end of September, beginning of October, I was longing to see the snow. But I tell you, in the city, the snow is gray and dirty, but in the mountains, the snow is so white that you need sunglasses. It hurts your eyes. So bright is the snow, and so bright
that
the Lord washed away our sins. I was so glad. Whenever I see snow, I'm thinking about this. We are so happy that, about His grace. And also tonight, we are confident that the Lord will bless us mightily. Let us read a word for introduction from 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. The last two verses, and then also chapter 4, a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And afterward, Brother Borg will pray with us. 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Then, chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Let us stand up for prayer. What a wonderful word we heard already. Let us all open our mouths and let us worship God together, asking God that He may bless us tonight, each one of us who is present here. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to be here tonight. We thank You that we are gathered here in Your presence to receive what You have prepared for us tonight. Lord, we are not looking unto ourselves, but we are looking to You, who you accomplished everything for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you also tonight. And we ask you, come to your right, speak to our hearts through your wonderful and revealed word. May our hearts receive your word. May we believe it. And may we trust in you. For then great things can happen tonight in our midst. We thank you and we praise you. And we give you alone the glory. For you are worthy to receive the thanks and the praise and the glory. For you have given us a full salvation. You purchased the full salvation for us on the cross of Calvary. Whiter than the snow. That's how we sang it. And that's how it is. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us sing Only Believe, Only. You may be seated. Yes, we have been truly blessed already through the word which was read. It's just so mighty when God's word is so directly addressing us. And if we find ourselves again in the Word, finding ourselves in the Word, that the Scripture was not only written for the church in Corinth, what we just read, but rather that is addressed and written to all true believers at all times, in all nations, in all tongues, all over the earth. And this is the tremendous in the Word of God, that we can believe with all our hearts, receiving everything. Most surely, we are coming back to it. Firstly, I would like to welcome our dear visit from Canada in a very special way. Feel at home. I mean the visit from Edmonton. May the Lord bless you all. And may He be with you, all of you. Then the visit from the USA, from Atlanta, visit from South Africa, visit from all over Europe. And we're just very, very grateful that we can be joined together with all who in this time are truly hearing the true Word of God, receiving it, believing it, and getting it revealed. that each one personally is meant. Each one is personally addressed and personally gives the answer, yes, Lord, I believe. Greetings we received via telephone from Brother Mwamba from Kolwezi, from Dr. Mbie from Bujimai. And if I may just mention this now, this brother,
der mit seinem Schwager mich als erstes in Kinshasa vor
who met me in Kinshasa at least 36 years ago, God used these two brothers. One was a lawyer and one was a doctor. And God used them in that country in an extraordinary way. Then Brother Etienne Genton and Brother Jacques from the Ivory Coast, Brother Malcolm from Durban, Brother Jan, Jean-Claude, who is now in England, his greeting, Jeremiah from Turkey. And about this, I was very, very happy when Brother Jeremiah from Turkey, when he phoned me and he could give a report of that, what God is doing there. Then Brother Inodi, Brother Gilzong, Brother Kupfer, and Brother Bulumba from Goma. And this is, again, something very special. Brother Elisha is today here. 4 weeks ago, he was in Goma. 4 weeks ago. And do you know what happened? 232 preachers were coming together to listen to the transmission, to have part in that what is happening here, what is being preached here by the Word of God. And if then is given the report, how far these gentlemen have to walk, then again driving by bus and then walking again. But God just has sent a hunger, and the people are coming to hear the word. Then Brother Cornelius from Kigali, Brother Ngonga from South Africa, then a whole group from South America, then a Brother Thomas from South America, and then Brother Ashi from the Ivory Coast, Brother Paul from Nairobi, Brother Joseph from Kinshasa, one brother from South America, Brother Cecil from Pretoria. And then I'm asking you, this whole stable, this whole bulk of emails, if I don't mention them, it's not good. And if I do it, here, greetings from the Ukraine, special greetings from Donetsk. We all heard the city Donetsk very much. Brother Schmidt and I and myself, we preached there, and we all know what is happening there right now. But just they're sending greetings. Then from Brother Oleg, who is in Portugal, who is listening now with the whole group. May God bless. Greetings from Cosmi Bra from Angola. Greetings from Brother Moses Jan from Denver. Greetings from Brother Adonis. Then greetings Brother Ludwig from Hungary. Greetings
from Brother Kongo, from Brother S.
from Brother Esmart from the Congo, Brother Roger from Congo, Brother Motika from Johannesburg, Brother Graf from Switzerland, Brother Da Silva from Cape Town. You all know where this is. One doesn't need to say. Brother Funda, Brother Christian from Romania, Sister Holviti and all from Finland are sending greetings. Then Brother Kalela, then Brother Lukram from Mongolia. He was just there now. Then Brother Laurent is sending greetings. Once again, greetings from Hungary. Once again, greetings from Brother Kabenga. Greetings from Brother Daniel from Kinshasa. Greetings from Brother Donati from Italy. Greetings from Colvezzi. Greetings from Brother Pino Davi from Palermo. Greetings from Burnina. Then once again, greetings from the Ivory Coast. From Brother Matthew. Greetings from Brother Chauffeur. Greetings from the DRC. Once again, greetings once again from Goma. Greetings from Deogratias and Kalela. Then from East London, South Africa. Then from Brother Kalamba, DRC. We are almost through. Then Brother Matthew, wherever this might be. Then greetings from Brother Anderson and Sister Anderson from Auckland, New Zealand. Then Brother Bruce from Cape Town. Brother Vladimir from Kishkire. Who knows where that is? This is right halfway from Moscow to the other end of the Russian Republic. Then we said everything here. Brothers and sisters, we are truly grateful that God has given the possibility that His Word can be carried into all the world, and that we have part in this last and very important proclamation. And this, we don't just say it, this is so. We arrived in the last period of the time of grace. Everything is being fulfilled, especially, if I can just mention this now, with Israel. This really touches our hearts the most. Who can something for it that God has called Abraham from the city of Ur, Chaldea, and giving him promises? But in the first promise, was not only mentioned one nation. No, in thee shall be blessed all kindreds of the earth. Genesis 12. And that's how it happened, of course. All nations of the earth have been included into the divine plan of salvation. Already in Isaiah 42, in Isaiah 49, in Hosea chapter 1, chapter 2. Ye who ye are not my people shall be called the sons of the Most High. And Galatians 3, in Christ all have been blessed in all peoples and in all tongues. But that, what is being done to Israel and with Israel, we all understood it. It is incomprehensible. But all of the world is just against Israel. And the Lord, at the first encounter with Abraham, he said, "He who blesses you, him I will bless. And whoever curses you, him I will curse." What can God do with people who do not recognize and acknowledge the plan of salvation at all, who don't receive what God has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord? What can God do with people who claim, who say that Israel should not exist anymore? Yeah, what then? God, of course, led it this way. One can read it in the Holy Scripture. But also this, with the Gaza Strip, we looked at it the last time already. Gaza will be no more. Whether it happens now, or whether it happens in a few months or next year, no one can say. But that's how it is truly written in Zephaniah, in chapter 2, from verse 5. It's written very clear. Zephaniah 2, verse 5. What shall one say to it? Here, we can read it. In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4, "For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up." What shall one say to it? It's Bible prophecy. God knew exactly how the nations would react. And then the warning was given in verse 5, and then especially in verse 7, "And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah." Then verse 10, "This shall they have for their pride," "because they have reproached," "and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts." That's how it is written in Bible prophecy. That's how it was predicted. And that's how it is happening. And it will continue to happen. Then we have it here. Before we started verse 4, it's of course written in verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Just this for a remark. We do not mingle in politics, but there never existed a Palestinian state. There was only Transjordan, Transjordania, and the whole of the West Bank belonged to it. 1964, I drove from Amman by bus through the whole of West Side, up to the gates of Jerusalem. It was Transjordania. And Gaza, as long as it belonged to Israel, they all lived in a very high living standard, as in no other country on the earth. How often we visited Gaza, in Ashkelon, we were there with the group. Only when it became independent, the enemies of Israel, they could build their tunnels and they could cause destruction. But now, just for a comfort concerning this subject, from Zechariah, chapter 8. Here it's verse 3 and verse 4.
So hat der Herr gesprochen,
thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. The Lord God shall start his reign from Mount Zion into all the world. Then verse 7, Zechariah 8, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and in righteousness. Just very powerful, the promises which God has given. Perhaps only verse 9 to it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, be courageous, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Already the rebuilding of the temple is promised in this connection, and it will happen just as sure as it is written. And then in Revelation chapter 11, measure the temple of God and those who are worshipping there. And Isaiah 65 and 66, everything will be holy in the temple and will belong to the Lord. These are the promises for Israel, our promises. The promises for the church are for us, of course, the most precious, the most important. And it's very nice if we believe them with all our hearts, and by grace we can experience and witness everything. Be honest now, be honest. When we read the word of introduction, we of course found ourselves again. If it is written here, I read once again verse 14. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ. Also this we said already, brothers and sisters. Just to read the Torah and just to read the prophets is not enough. The veil must be taken away from the hearts and from the eyes. And this can only happen by the revelation of Jesus Christ. When I was reading yesterday in an Israeli magazine that Elijah must be here already and that he will introduce the Messiah at any moment, then I'm really asking myself, how do the people come to it? As then, when the Messiah came, now he comes, of course, firstly to take us home as the bridegroom, to take his bride home, and then only he will reveal himself to his people Israel. But of course not on a donkey. This of course happened 2,000 years ago. When he comes now, he comes as Lord, as the King, and he will reveal himself to his people. Brothers and sisters, it's just something wonderful. That God has revealed unto us his whole plan of salvation by his grace. Just as we were reading
in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3:17,
now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's just a wonderful understanding of the whole plan of salvation of our God. I just hope that we all can agree with it, if it is being said here. But we all, not only he and a few apostles, but all of us who we believe, that's how it's written here, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, how grateful we can be that God, especially Paul and the apostles, God used them in a special way to write down everything what we have to know until the end. And by this we have received the full understanding by his grace. Then he writes in chapter 4, we read it already, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We do not lose heart. We have received a ministry, a stewardship. We are administering the secrets of God, the mysteries of God, and we preach the whole counsel of God. And of us it is required that we are faithful in it. I like it most. Verse 2 I like most in chapter 4. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Amen.
Amen. And this one can say here, at this place, what is being preached here at this place, this would be preached if our Lord would take a seat visibly and would take a seat here. And I say it with an honest heart. Never in my life, I did something in dishonesty or in craftiness, had something in my mind. For what? For what? That what God revealed unto us, what He entrusted unto us, this we can pass on. And who is of God will get it revealed. Then we have it described here what happens with them who do not believe. With them, it is being hid still, and they get lost. And in them who believe, to them it is revealed. Then verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God who spoke, let there be light, the same God spoke through His word to us, and it became light, just as Brother Branham emphasized many times, at evening time there shall be light. And it was always like that. When the time of the fulfillment of the promises came, then God had those on earth who could believe it, those who could receive it, and by grace they witnessed it and experienced it. What also makes me busy is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what keeps me busy, that what God has laid especially on Paul's heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. This became great to me already in the last meetings which I had. Also last Sunday in Zurich. He who really recognizes the day of salvation, he receives help. He is helped in the day of salvation. And therefore, it is just so important to receive and accept what God has promised to us in this time and what He has given us. Let us read once again the whole verse. For it is written, Isaiah 49, verse 8, for it is written, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, not someday, now, today is the day of salvation. And this we could recognize by His grace, that there is a today for us, that we believe the promises for this time, receiving them, accepting them. In Isaiah 49, we have, of course, the mighty promise for that what should happen, the fulfillment in Matthew 12. But let us read firstly, let us read Isaiah 49, what was predicted and foretold, and what was fulfilled also. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. No. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. This is the day of salvation. This is the time of grace. No man needs to blame someone. Israel, all nations have been included. And if we look at it precisely, at two places in the book of Acts, Paul preached, and suddenly, sadly, he had to say it to the Jews, because you have not accepted the gospel, therefore we turn to the Gentiles. For thus it is written, I have set thee for a light to the Gentiles. And the second time, when the non-believing Jews, when they were persecuting him, and the whole city was against him, he again had to say, now I turn to the Gentiles. God had a time for Israel, and God has a time for the Gentiles. And God will again have a time for Israel. Everything was, of course, foretold in advance, and that's how it is being fulfilled until our very time. It is not enough. God said, it is not enough that I raise up the tribes of Israel again, that I restore. No, I ordain you for a light for the Gentiles. So that what? So that all might become Christians? So that my salvation, on the day of salvation, might shine unto the ends of the earth and might be manifested. And that's what's all about. God has not given us a Christianity. He has given us the true salvation and the true forgiveness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then we have here, in the New Testament, we have the direct insight in Luke chapter 1, how it was said by the Spirit of God, what happened at that time. And in the same way, it was foretold. What is happening now? Luke chapter 1. Here it's written. Luke 1.
Und dann von Vers 67.
Then 67. Luke 1 from verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. He remembers his covenant and his people and his promises which he has given unto us. Then we read on, and this I like very much, from verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. And now it comes. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. This is, of course, the promise from Malachi 3, verse 1. Firstly, the prophetic words, and then the reference to the promise from Malachi 3, verse 1. And why? For what? For what to prepare his ways? For what? Verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people. The knowledge of salvation. To give knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins. Not a religion. No, on the day of salvation, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, which was given to them by the remission of their sins. It starts with remission, with reconciliation. It starts with that the Lord addresses us, and that we answer him, that he calls us, we answer this call. Then the verses 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us,
gebracht wird, die ihnen durch Vergebung ihrer Sünden am Tage des Heils zuteil werden wird. Sagen wir es noch einmal.
Let us say it once again.
Nicht eine neue Religion,
not a new religion,
sondern Versöhnung,
but reconciliation with God, Vergebung, forgiveness, remission of sins. Just a personal experience of salvation with God. And then, that in this way, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. A songwriter sings, when peace like a river floods my soul, then the heart is jubilating. May I ask you, who has made such a supernatural experience of salvation? That we firstly were in supplication, praying for forgiveness, and then suddenly suddenly something happened, that you received the assurance that the Lord has accepted me, He has forgiven me. And then comes a praise, but then really comes a praise. No one needs to make it up. This is just there. It's just a fountain, like a fountain which breaks forth. And then the thanksgiving is coming forth to the Lord. So, really, the Lord God took care for everything. But one has to step the way from the very beginning. And our Lord said it, narrow is the way, and straight is the gate which leads to life. And there are just a few who find it. And therefore, enter the narrow gate. And so, we thank the Lord God that we really can preach the gospel in the kernel. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. Then, concerning the completion, let me read the word from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Here the Lord called the work of redemption as finished. John 17, verse 4. Let us also read verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And now comes the wonderful verse which our Lord spoke. I have glorified Thee on the earth, and I have finished the work, which Thou gavest me to do. The work of redemption, not only starting it, but finishing it. It is finished. The redemption was not only done, it is done and finished in those who let themselves be finished, who really, until the end, who really remain faithful until the end, who accept and receive what God has said, and who then reach the destination, the goal. We have a large number of scriptures to read, which speak, of course, about it. But one scripture which really touched my heart is in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. And please, brothers and sisters, don't look at it as if our Lord would rebuke us. No, He just wants to show us that the finished work of redemption has been finished in us by faith and obedience. He finished the work, but the work must be also be finished in you and in me. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 1 up to verse 4. Moreover, brethren, what the Lord has done, great things, feeding us with manna, letting us drink water from the rock. Just he has done great things, supernatural things, He has done amongst His people. The Lord himself manifested and revealed himself in the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. He accompanied them, and they were drinking from the rock who was with them, baptizing them in Moses, baptizing them in the cloud, baptizing. And then the result, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And do you know what is also written? I read it to you from verse 10 and from verse 11 from the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed for it by the destroyer. Brothers and sisters, we must be careful. We must tame our tongue. We must consecrate our tongue to the Lord. Also this, we said here many times, on the day of Pentecost, it was not only about the anointing with the Spirit, about the filling with the Spirit. No, it was important that the tongue would be purified by the fire, and that the tongue is purified firstly, and then being put into the service of God. And here we have read it, namely, that the destroyer has pulled them away who murmured. Nothing was right to them. Moses didn't make it right. Everything was somehow not the way as they wanted to have it. But it was as God wanted to be. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we must be careful. We must pay attention. Because the next verse is addressed to me and to you. Already then, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, just think about it. 2,000 years ago, the man of God is writing what is for our time. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written down for our admonition, for you and for me. Do we receive an admonition? Do we receive a warning? Or do we just bypass it? Brothers and sisters, let us take heed unto every admonition, unto every warning which God has given us in His Word. Because thus it is written here, upon whom the ends of the world are come, unto us. Was the end ever closer as it is today? Are we not living at the end of the end time? Let us pay attention that we truly are found in the will of God, that we edify one another, comforting one another, admonishing one another, so that we reach together the goal. Also this, brothers and sisters, I've said it here many times before, as we only have sown the true seed of the Word of God, the pure Word of God, preaching it, and as sure as you received it by faith, so sure it will happen when the Lord will gather his wheat into his garner, so that we all who we believe now, you will be there. I will never believe it another way. I will never believe that God has called you to make you just to give you just a good hope, who you will not be in the fulfillment. If God gives promises, and also this promise is truly, as we read from John the Baptist, he prepared the way for the Lord. And one can read it in Luke chapter 1, what really happened with them who received and accepted the word. Here we can read it. Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is of course connected with this preaching. And if it is written, to the most of them who were called out, most of them, God was not well pleased, because with everything what happened, they were marmored, they were not satisfied. And the word, and 23,000 died on the spot. It was shown to us here. We who we are living now at the end of the time of grace, that really our Lord is reaching our hearts, not our heads, but that he is reaching our hearts, and that we return to this living faith into the living God, and that we are obedient, letting ourselves be placed into the will of God. Also, this must be emphasized very, very much. As sure as there was a forerunner at the first coming of Christ who prepared the way of the Lord and prepared to who made ready a people for the Lord, as we read, to make ready a well-prepared people for the Lord. What shall happen here by the preaching? Through the preaching. How often we were reading Matthew 25, verse 10. Those who were ready went in. Those who were ready went in. And the door was shut. I don't believe that I speak here to foolish virgins. I believe that we make up the bride of the Lamb, at least a portion of the bride worldwide. And all who believe now with their hearts, that they will have part in that what God is doing right now. And to this belongs truly the promise that God would send at the end of the time of grace, that he would wanted to send a prophet to restore all things. And so that to the Lord is prepared a people. And therefore, the call was addressed to our beloved brother Branham. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And this is the divine fact in our days. I don't know whether I should show you here something, but in the USA, they are truly under the picture of the cloud, as it was taken in Houston, Texas, 1950, and Dr. George J. Lacey confirmed it, that there was no double exposure. No, this divine, this supernatural light was there. Otherwise, the camera lens could not have taken it. And under this mighty picture, they wrote a text. And then there's truly written, I can bring it tomorrow, it's written there. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. Nothing of message, no word of a message, just a falsification, a forgery. Under the picture with the supernatural light, with a pillar of fire above the head of Brother Branham, and underneath, in the last line, this falsification, and this with the purpose that with the ministry of Brother Branham, everything was finished, and that no man is needed, no Brother Frank, no one has the right to claim to carry the message. All this is past already. No, and again, no. We are carriers of the divine message until the Lord returns. And we are just grateful with all our hearts that the Lord has kept us in His Word. You can also understand me when I think about it. Although it's a personal testimony, but how the Lord was leading all these ways. Also this, I told you many times, after Brother Branham told me word by word how he repeated what the Lord spoke to me. And when we were finished with the subject, suddenly he said about the journey of Paul to Jerusalem, you don't have to be troublesome. It was in the will of God. Every time when I was reading the book of Acts, I was just asking, Paul, I was always asking, Paul, you again put the law in force. You were paying for the purification for you and for your brethren. You made a vow. You entered the temple. Why did you do that? Every time I was thinking about it when I was reading the book of Acts, somehow I had troubles. But really, out of the blue sky, Brother Frank, about the journey of Paul to Jerusalem, you don't have to make up your problems. It was in the will of God. Brothers and sisters, by grace, I experienced and witnessed this supernatural ministry. Personally, I've seen it and I experienced it. And therefore, the pain is so great. If something is changed, Brother Branham said it many times, more than 100 times. With Eve, it was just one word which was added, and the fall happened already. Not a single word may be changed, may be added, or may be taken away. Everything must be left in the way as it is. Brothers and sisters, today we have the Lord's Supper. The wish was just so great in some brothers and sisters, especially in those who can come once in a year. And they have just they expressed their longing that we should have today the Lord's Supper. And the Lord said at the time, I desired to have the Lord's Supper with you. And he said it, I will not drink henceforth from the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God. And then we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One portion we read already, but the second part we can read now. Did you understand the said things? Did you understand what's it all about? That really nothing may be changed. Everything must remain as the Lord God has said it. And here, in the same chapter, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, we read just verse 16 and verse 17, for the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? When we just now we will have the bread, we will pray also, and we will lay everything before the Lord. It just belongs to it, the Lord's Supper, to celebrate it until he comes, until he returns, and until he takes us home, that we really celebrate. So that we can celebrate the Lord's Supper there. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Brothers and sisters, friends, especially when I was looking at the young people, also our brother from Poland, all who came, also all the other youth, then it really, the deep desire comes up to me that all youth, that all great and little, that all make an experience with God personally. That on the day of salvation, the reconciliation and the forgiveness is not only being preached, but it is really experienced by all. We can preach forgiveness, but forgiveness is in the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, by the blood which was shed on the cross of Calvary. By this we received the forgiveness of sins. And as we have heard it in the word of introduction, also our clothes will be whiter than the snow. They will have a brightness, a wonderful brightness. As I've seen it in the rapture, in the multitude dressed in white, no remembrance anymore in the past, no remembrance, nothing. Everything will be over forever, and will be changed in the face of our Lord. We will be young and forever we will rejoice in the glory of our God. Precious youth and all those who are probably here today for the first time, may God give us all, may God give us all grace. All you who you are newly added, who you probably have never heard the full gospel in this way, who probably were just a member of a denomination. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. Today we are calling in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. At the Lord's Supper, only those should partake who really received and accepted the redemption work. Our Lord said himself, I have finished the work which you have called me to do. And on the cross he cried out, it is finished. Only he who received the redemption by the blood of the Lamb, only he should partake with a good conscience in the Lord's Supper. He who didn't receive the forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb, he who was not yet born again unto a living hope, the Lord's Supper is a memorial meal to that what happened to us. But it must have happened in you and in me. It must have happened in all of us. Forgiveness. We may preach, but he, our Lord, it is he who said, who forgiveth you all your sins and who healeth all thy infirmities. Also the healing we can preach, but by his stripes we were healed already. Perhaps I may mention this, what I mentioned here last Wednesday in the Bible hour which we had. Dear Brother Branham said, in January 1955, he said, just as you in the natural, for instance, as you believe, for instance, if you want to drive your car, You don't sit in your car and you think, oh, how can this happen? How can this function? All what you do in the natural, this you do really automatically. You know how it is being done. And then he goes over into the spiritual. In the same way it is in the spiritual realm. You just need to sit in. You just need to accept it by faith, without efforts, without making your thoughts about it. It is finished. And then Brother Branham, it really overwhelmed me. He said the following. Here on the platform are crutches. There's a stretcher. And there is a wheelchair folded. Just look at it. Just look at the platform. Look at it. What was being laid here. And then he turns to the audience. And he says, Sister, brother, please stand up, in whom yesterday evening these miracles have happened. 1, 2, 3, 4. All stood up. There they were sitting, healed. The crutches were on the platform. The stretcher was on the platform. And the people were healed, sitting in the audience. And then, as Ezra said, Brother Branham made this comparison. Just without your own efforts, just believing with your heart, by his stripes you are healed. Receive it. I use now my words. Just take it for granted. Just take it for granted. This, that it is yours personally, that it happened for you personally, that you were redeemed and healed personally. Receive it without efforts. Receive it. And thank the Lord for it. And then it will be manifested. It's just so nice that God could use a man who didn't bring a theory, but who could report out of a practical life. And the confirmation was always there after the sermon. The vindication, whenever he prayed for the sick, it happened. The Lord is also the same today. Let us summarize. God's well-pleasing was resting firstly on the Redeemer. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then the comparison with Enoch. God's well-pleasing was resting upon him, and he was raptured. And then in most of them, God was not well-pleased because they were murmuring. And then the warning, the admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come, these admonitions are written down and addressed. May God's holy word address us, so that also this service, this sermon, may serve us truly, so that the Lord can come to his right today with us and with all over the earth who are listening today or who will hear later on, that he may really finish the work which he finished at that time, that he may also finish it in you and in me, that it is really finished unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. We believe in the power of the blood of the Lamb. We believe in the power of the Word of God. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is present today to save the sinners, to heal the sick, and to deliver the captives. The Lord God, may he give us grace that we believe it and that we really experience it. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Let us sing the chorus, "Just As I Am." Should we have some in our midst, especially the young or those who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord, if you have not yet the full assurance, please accept it and receive it today by faith. And if you feel like, please come to the front. Please come straight away to the front while we sing the chorus once again. Sometimes it serves us for the good if we have the courage to come also before the Lord, to come before the people, to accept before the people what He has given to us by grace. Should someone wish that we pray for you? Some are still coming. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the call was going forth. You have heard it, and the Lord has led it in such a way that today you have come to the front to receive. And it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, as many as received Him, to them He gave power, the right to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. Do you believe it with all your heart? Say amen. Believe it, please. Believe it with all your heart. God's word is trustworthy. God stands to His word. And also the statement of our Lord, He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Therefore the call, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest unto your souls. Why did we read the word that on the day of salvation, the remission of sins is being preached in the name of Jesus Christ? And this remission by the blood of the Lamb, we preached today. And you receive the forgiveness personally by faith. Just look at it. Just look here. Believe with all your heart. Receive it. Accept it. He doesn't cast out anyone. He doesn't blame anyone. And even your sin would be red as scarlet. They become whiter than the snow. Just a full forgiveness once for all. Receive it by faith. Accept it. And then this will become the greatest and most important day in your life. And the word of the cross will have accomplished for what it was sent for. And it's written, them who get lost, It is foolishness, but to them who are saved, to you who you have come to the front today, to them it becomes the power of God. Today, the word of God becomes the power of God for you, and it is manifested. Now we pray together. Please pray after me what I pray now. Precious Lord, please loud, dear Lord, we are now coming together to you. We receive the forgiveness. Now, very personal now, personal. Precious Lord, I thank you that you accepted me, that you have forgiven me my sins, that I can be now your property, your possession. You have saved me. You have given me grace and mercy. I'm yours for time and for eternity. Please receive it and accept it by faith now.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Thank Him. Glorify. Glorify His wonderful name. Let us sing it once again. Just as I am. Dear Lord, I consecrate unto you all them who have come to the front, who responded your call. I consecrate them unto you in this hour. You have received and accepted them. You have forgiven them all. You have pardoned all. They may be now your possession, and they may partake in the Lord's Supper to also be reminded on that what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, bless all and be with all. May they go from here in full assurance of faith, the full assurance of faith that you accepted them, that you have forgiven them, and that they are your inheritance and possession for time and for eternity. Blessed and praised be your wonderful, wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Didier to come to the front to pray the closing prayer. And Brother Arben, come please and translate him.
Notre Père,
unser Vater,
our Father,
wir kommen und sagen dir großen Dank.
We are coming and we say great thanks unto you.
Du hast heute Abend zu uns gesprochen.
You have spoken to us tonight as a father speaks to his children.
Du hast uns die Gewissheit gegeben,
you have given us the assurance that your work is finished.
Möge dein Name gelobt sein dafür.
May your name be praised forever.
Für die Vergebung unserer Sünden.
For the remission of our sins.
Durch deine Gnade.
By your grace.
Haben wir die Gewissheit.
We have received the assurance that you have truly forgiven us and you have given your life on the cross of Calvary so that we can even rejoice today about it. We rejoice about the work which you have accomplished. And we can see that we have a right attitude and that we have a living hope. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. Thank you for your call which we responded to. We have received your promises and we believe that you are faithful. We thank you that you have blessed each one of us, that you have kept us in the faith in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Praise, honor, and glory be to you. Amen.